Welcome to Art on the Air. Tonight we have Tom Hazeltine, who has a show in the Harold Stevens Gallery that opens on Saturday, May 17th from 4 to 6 p.m. It's called My Kind of Blues. He's also the president of the Boston Blues Society and has quite a story to tell. Tom, I'm so happy to have you in here. Please tell us all about your art and how you got going and what's going on.
Thank you, Gail. The best way for me to start is to say that I started bringing my camera to shows only because my close friend Johnny had a Polaroid camera and his images sucked. So I thought because I had a 35mm camera, it'd be potentially better for me to make images with my camera. And I was wrong. My images sucked too. Because I wasn't used to all the settings on a 35mm camera.
When was this?
That all started somewhere around 1979. I should go back and say that before that, my musical taste tended to be like most kids my age in the 70s, which was British rock and southern rock. And then and I was going to big shows at the Boston Garden, and my buddy Johnny, who was a close friend of mine and a coworker, told me, man, you got to stop listening to that you listen to and listen to the real stuff, the stuff that those guys listen to. He introduced me to the blues that way. We went to a really popular, really famous blues club in Central Square in Cambridge called the Speakeasy. I was hooked. Once I got into that atmosphere and the friendly people that were patrons there, I realized, yeah, he was right, that it was way better for me to be going to the small clubs, listening to local musicians play really great music. So, and that's how it started. That whole period of my life, those events also happened around a really bad time in my life when my dad had passed away. Living for me wasn't really, it wasn't obvious that I was going to enjoy life. And I found going to clubs at night and burning the candle at both ends and in the middle too, I found it to be a great distraction from the stuff that in my life that wasn't so good. In the 70s and the early 80s, there was really a lot of music going on. There was these really great clubs like Great Scott, Ed Burke's, Speakeasy for a couple of years, Jonathan Swift's, Jack's. No, there was a ton. I found that I could go out, stay out really late at night, have a couple drinks, and go to work in the morning. And at times I felt I was more creative for having been so tired. Started going to the clubs, bringing my camera. Over a period of time, I realized, man, I got to see a lot of really great shows, and I started looking back over my images, and I don't know, out of the blue, I decided to ask for an autograph. Carrie Bell was the first person I asked to autograph an image, and he was so nice about it that I thought, well, this is pretty easy. I'd look over all my images, and I'd pick one that I thought was the best. I'd bring it to be autographed. Honestly, I've had two people not like the image that I chose, and that's kind of rough. I'm kind of shy about asking for autographs because I'm never really sure how the musician might respond.
You're taking your images to the musician after, and that's what this show is, My Kind of Blues, autographed.
I think the majority of them are going to be autographed ones.
And so you had one of the musicians not like the picture of them?
Two.
Oh, really? Two?
I have over 300. Yeah, two women. One actually wrote on the picture, Tom, you know I love you because I'm signing this because it doesn't make me look good or something that.
Yeah.
But I can tell you my favorite story about all my images. In 1992, I went to San Francisco Blues Festival, and through the Blues Society, I had press credentials and was able to get into the photo pit at the front of the stage. I was shooting film, of course, and when I got home, I had some really great images of Little Milton Campbell, who will remain my favorite Memphis-style guitar player, and I know B.B. King would be probably most people's favorite. To me, the early Little Milton stuff is a little bit more dynamic, just more my favorite. So, Little Milton Campbell is he's right up there with all of the greats. In the 90s, I had met Teo Leismayer from the music buyer at the House of Blues, and I was afforded access to the entire House of Blues. Teo and I became fast friends, and he used to call me up, hey, you gotta bring your camera to the show tonight. You know, this is going to be a great show. So I got introduced to a lot of musicians that way. But anyway, I had this beautiful image that I really liked of Little Milton Campbell. had access to the green room, so I got to talk to him. We talked for a little bit, and then I asked him if he'd autograph a picture, and he said, "Yeah, sure." And he looked at it. He said, "Oh, that's a great shot." He asked me, "Did you take that?" And you know, again, being nervous about how the artist is going to react, and his reaction seemed so positive, I very proudly said, "Yes, I did." And then he said to me sternly, "Are you sure you took that picture?" And he gave me the once over, and I, "Yes, little Milton." And he put his arm around me, and he said, "Son, you're a badass photographer." And I thought, I said, "Thanks, little Milton." I was so happy. He was, again, because it's little Milton, and because he, you know, he did this little thing where he, you know, knew he was going to make me nervous. But, and then he told me that, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's also important to note that my influence when it came to photograph and musician was a lot of the 1950s LP covers, the jazz guys, because there was a couple of, Ray Avery's one of the photographers, and I think Herman Leonard was the other one. They made a lot of album covers that were these really grainy, real great black and white images, album covers.
Yeah.
It captured the essence of the musician in the moment, yeah. The stuff got better, my images got better. Also in 1989, I met Holly Harris, looked over the images I had, and told me, "You ought to get involved in the Boston Blues Society because you'll get press credentials that'll get you closer to the stage." That's how I got the press credentials for San Francisco and Chicago. I had a Waterfront Blues Festival. I've been to all these festivals.
So you've been everywhere.
In 1995, I went to 5 blues festivals that Luther Allison was the headliner. And then in the end of, in November of 1995, Luther Allison played the House of Blues, and I brought a collection of images from each of the 5 festivals that he headlined, and I gave him a little booklet with all these images in it. And he told me, "You take all these pictures?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "You went to all these festivals?" I said, "I did." And he said, "Man, you've got a great life." And I told him, "Luther, I do have a great life." So yeah, so I'm traveling, and I've been to a couple of festivals overseas, but Lucerne Blues Festival I went to, and Switzerland. It took on a life of its own after a while. I never expected it to be what it turned out to be, because it just kind of happened as an afterthought. Bringing the camera was an afterthought, and then the autographs were an afterthought. It turned out to be really great. After I asked Ronnie Earle for an autograph, he and I became friends. Over time, we became real close. In 2006, he called me up and he asked me if I wanted to be involved in the band. I told him I thought that was a stretch. As a non-musician, I'm not really sure what I was going to do. And he said he needed a road manager, and he felt that I could do that. And I became his road manager from 2008 through 2016. At that time, Ronnie didn't travel too much. Most of the shows were locally within an hour or two drive, and we went home most nights. But over time, it got to be much bigger than that. We would travel to Chicago or Detroit.
Wow, so just going from a Polaroid camera, it ended up making a huge impact on your life and your relationships with these people. And
if I'm being honest, looking back at the reason I was so attracted to the music, the distraction from the part of my life that was hard for me to deal with, it's pretty amazing to think that just doing it for the sake of doing it, became this huge, really rewarding part of my life. You know, as a machinist, I work as a machinist, and that's kind of the black and white of my life. And then the music is the color, you know, all the colors in between. I feel really fortunate that I'm able to do what I do. I then became involved with Sugar and the Blue Tones. I went on tour with those guys and stayed with them for a couple of years. Whenever they needed me, I was available to them. Mike Welsh had left the band. Sugar Ray occasionally would hire Charlie Beatty from California to come out.
The little Charlie from Little Charlie and the Nightcats.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Charlie went back to California and he told Rick Estrin, "Rick, I got the perfect guy for you on the East Coast," because Rick was looking for someone on the East Coast to help them with the band for their tours here. In the winter of 2019, Nick David hired Sugar and the Blue Tones to be the backing band, and he hired Rick Estrin and Joe Moss, Nick Moss, to come out to do his Winter Blues Festival. Because I was involved with Sugar and the Blue Tones at the time, I got to meet Rick. He called me up and he said, "Hey, we have a tentative booking at the Bull Run in Shirley. would you be able to secure us a back line? And I did that. Shortly thereafter, Kid Anderson, the guitar player, sent me a complete complete back line, a four-piece set of instruments, amplifiers, drum kit,
wow,
everything.
Oh, geez.
He sent it in, he created it up and sent it to my house. And so now I'm with those guys. Now when they come here, I go on tour with those guys. I can't believe that the shy, insecure person I was in 1979, hiding at the back of the venue, sneaking my camera in, got to be this involved.
And so you're instrumental, speaking of instruments, in bringing in the night of your opening, Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones.
Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones, probably be my favorite blues band of all time. Having worked with them, it was a dream come true for me. And when we talked about bringing a band in the night of the show, they were my first go-to.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also believe that they have a good following in the Worcester area. Yeah. So.
No, it's exciting for us at WCW to host you in your photography show and also to have Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones the night of your opening. It's like a real treat for us. It's going to be awesome. That's this Saturday, May 17th. The Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones go on around 7:30 for a nice long set, and it's going to be quite an event for WCW in the fantastic front room. We're super excited.
Again, going back to the unlikely beginnings of this all, I knew there were other photographers that traveled the same circuit that I was in, and I've seen that they've since published books. It was never my objective to have this become anything other than my own personal collection, again, probably because I was shy or insecure. This is the first time I'm going to be able to show all my images in one place. So I had all these images tucked away, and I would occasionally bring them out. I would show the images, and I would it really struck me as to how big a thing this became, these images. That's kind of what got my juices flowing as far as wanting to show them. Of course, you know, an autographed image of Johnny Hooker or B.B. King is irreplaceable at this point, so I didn't want to put them in a coffee shop. Mm. It took someone with an association with a gallery to suggest we show them there.
That someone being Ann Souza?
Oh, that's I think that's her name, yes.
Little, A.K.A. Little Red from Little Red and the Riders?
Oh, yeah, that's her.
But you guys knew each other from the Gil Raines days, right?
Oh, yeah. Back Can then? I tell you how
yeah.
I met
Ann
from
do.
Gil
yeah,
Raines?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so growing up in the Boston area, Gil Raines was an attraction merely because bands played really well when they played there. And so it was a bit of a ride for us, a 45-minute ride. My buddy Billy Blue and I used to drive out quite a bit to see bands. This is in the 90s, and so I was born in 59, so by the 90s, I was certainly old enough to get into a club. However, every time I went there, I seemed to get carded, you know, like, sir, can I see your ID, please? And I thought...
By Robin Scott, probably?
No, not by Robin Scott, by Ann.
We're just thrilled to have you, and I'm so glad that Ann said, hey, let's have a show of your works, because that's an awful lot of works to not be shown all at once.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my first time actually showing them. It feels kind of like the end of the road as far as a major undertaking I started in the 70s, but it feels great. It feels very rewarding. Eventually, I would like to donate the images to the Blues Museum, so...
Yeah, and you're still taking pictures. I mean, you're still going out and... Maybe not touring as much.
It's one of those things. It's one of those habits that if I don't bring the camera to the show, I wish that I had. The photography was such a big part of my life. It created friction in a couple of relationships. just before a show at the De Cordova with Robert Lockwood Jr., maybe Eddie Kirkland. Yeah, there was going to be a show. We were planning on going. I had, at the time, I was volunteering with Mae Kramer, and she was the host. When that lady I was involved with saw the camera bag, she's like, are you bringing that camera to the show? I go, yes, I'm bringing the camera to the show. She said, I feel like a widow when I'm at a show with you, that you're married to your camera. And I said, but when I met you, I was taking pictures at a show.
Yeah.
It didn't carry much weight. I sure hope she comes to the show so she can see what she missed.
Okay. I hope everybody comes to the show. Tom Hazeltine, My Kind of Blues at the Harold Stevens Gallery at WCUW, 910 Main Street, Saturday, May 17th from 4 to 6 is the opening reception. It'll be on display for maybe the beginning of July. That night is going to be Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones at 7 o'clock. Tickets in advance on WCUW.org. So get your tickets because they're only for sale till Friday. And then Saturday, cash at the door. It's going to be quite a party.